It is the Steve and Judy extravaganza today. Hello, man and woman.
I don't think I'd want to see Susan's underboob.
Wait, I thought you liked the side boob.
I do.
We should save this for radio.
Yeah. Okay.
You're on the radio.
And did you bring in another topic?
Yeah. Do you think it's sexist
I don't think
to
he knows
say
he's
Hillary
on the
Clinton
air.
Sounds shrill?
I think we should take this down because they're going to get themselves in a lot of trouble. How do you take them down? They're talking all this, the kind of stuff that you and I talk about on the radio that people never hear.
Hello? I'm sorry.
Steve?
Yes.
You're going to get a lot of emails.
What were we just saying?
Well, what you were just saying.
Four-letter word.
It was just previews. Who turned me on the air without
I have no
me?
Idea. It wasn't me. I was
Judy, we were talking about the SAG Awards, and they were listening, apparently.
Right.
Well, that's a preview of coming attractions or non-attractions. I don't know. We'll talk about them.
Yeah. Steve, here's a little bit of it. Hi, Judy, by the way.
This is no way to start.
Hi, Lou, by the way.
This is my recommendation to you. The next time you're asked to fill in for Kathy while Judy's in Arizona, say you'll do it if you get to go to Arizona.
Well, you know, what's weird is Kathy's in the picture with Judy. I'm watching her on Skype.
Kathy is packing up to go away.
Got it.
So she was there for a week's vacation.
Right. I see. Oh, so she's in Arizona leaving.
Right. Right.
But not with you, Judy.
No, because I live here.
Who's on first?
Clearly not me, because you've been hearing me talk.
Okay, what's coming up on the show today?
We're going to talk about step families and how long it takes to really be a step family that really gels. Or maybe never gels. Mm-hmm. And there was an article in maybe the Wall Street Journal it was that it can take as long as 10 years.
Wow.
And I have a step family.
Right.
So I can
So you're it. Just so you just gelled maybe what a couple weeks ago?
Depends on the week.
Depends on the person.
Right. Okay, Lou, a quick Lou question.
Sure.
I'm putting in some backsplash. And I'm doing subtitles.
Subway tiles.
And Kathy says, because she's been general contracting for the 2 days she's been here.
Can't wait for her to leave, huh?
Right. No, she was a huge help. You should have seen us up on... Never mind.
All right.
But anyway, the drywall was sort of ripped out when they took the other out. So I need to re-drywall first, right?
Before you put your subway tile on?
Uh-huh.
And this is a backsplash.
Yeah.
Yeah, it needs to be a flat, sound surface. Now,
will the tiler do that?
They should. In other words, when you said the drywall was damaged or removed, in other words, are there...
Damaged.
Damaged. Okay.
Really, seriously damaged.
Okay, well, if the drywall is still there...
It's not.
Oh, well
then... You couldn't attach anything to it. It's not smooth. It's like torn like paper.
So the short answer is they may do it, or they may say, hey, lady, you got to get that friend of yours that was being the general contractor to put some new drywall in. So you may want to stop Kathy before she leaves so she can put the little piece of drywall, a painting contractor.
One more day, I could have gotten her to do it.
I was going
to
say, are you telling me she didn't offer to do that? That shocks me.
No, she didn't. It was sort of bitchy of her, really.
What kind of a house guest is that?
But yes, you need a flat, sound surface before, and I love the look of subway tile. I think it never goes out of style.
Okay. Kind of like you, Lou.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Have a great show, you
two. You too. I mean, have a great day.
You too.
Okay. All right, see you, Lou Manfredini. Judy Markey is here. I'm Steve Bertrand, sitting in for Kathy O'Malley, who is there as well, but she's catching a plane home. So it's Judy and Steve today. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago.
We are girlfriends, even though one of us is Steve and one of us is Judy.
I've been a girl most of my life.
Well, yeah, all those years with us also, you know, probably we battered you into a certain amount of feminine feminine sensibility.
Yes, or feminine fear, maybe.
I'm sure your daughter, Emma, also added to that.
Yeah, and my wife, Sharon, she doesn't help.
Right.
That's right.
She doesn't help.
I'm surrounded.
Well, this sort of leads to your question that we were talking about off air. Oh, first of all, Kathy is leaving Tucson now and going back, and was a big help while we were watching things being installed in this kitchen. And I just wanted to say, I'm not going to miss her because I'm with Steve, who I never see.
Right. And so she's flying home now, and she might not have gotten a later flight, so you guys could have done the duet from Arizona.
We only have one mic, and we don't share well.
No. Okay.
But you had asked an interesting question before.
Well, about Hillary?
Yeah.
Well, so I'm just, you know, I am so geared up for, I love this time of year. And, you know, I was thinking of you this week because 8 years ago, you had sort of a big Kathy and Judy party at your house in Arizona, or a group of us went down there. And it was about this time in the election cycle. And I remember there was a guy like on the street corner somewhere just holding up a Barack Obama sign. And this was when, you know, I was still insisting 8 years ago, you guys are crazy. Hillary Clinton's going to win the nomination. And you were saying, no, I think there's something here. And I remember this guy just standing there all by himself, holding a Barack Obama sign in this big intersection.
It's hard to be a Barack Obama supporter in Pima County.
Is it? Well, so this week I'm driving around Deerfield, and there's a guy standing on the corner holding a Bernie Sanders sign, just standing there as people are driving by. And there was sort of that parallel. So I don't know. You don't think that Bernie Sanders can beat Hillary Clinton, do you?
I don't think he can get the job done. Therefore, I don't think he'll, in the end, that he would get the nomination, but you know, we're still far out.
Well, there's a new Quinnipiac poll out this week that shows her with, like, I think it's only a 4% lead nationally. So, you know, maybe here we go again. So anyway, so everyone's talking about Hillary Clinton and how she sounds and how she dresses and all of that. And the word that I keep hearing is shrill. Hillary Clinton sounds shrill. Now, there are other people who I talk to who say that they're uncomfortable with the way she sounds, but they wouldn't use the word shrill. And I just wonder, is it sexist to say she sounds shrill?
I sometimes cringe when she responds because, and maybe this is hard to do, I don't know if I would say shrill, but I, when I cringe, it's because poor Hillary really lacks charm. And that's an unfortunate thing when you're wooing people. Now, does Donald Trump have charm? He has the charm of saying everything he thinks and doesn't think. You know, it doesn't sound like he thinks too much before he says something. But I don't know if I'd say shrill. I think it's harder for a woman because a man is described as assertive and a woman could be described as shrill. I think that's part of it.
Okay.
But I think she's hyper assertive. And I think to a certain degree that gets in her way along with her lack of charm.
Well, so I'm thinking of it because, you know,
our number, you know, is
312-981-7200.
Right.
And give us a call if you want to comment on this, 312-981-7200. Because maybe, I mean, it's people are just coming out and saying, well, no one likes Ted Cruz. You know, he's not likable. I've heard pundits say he's not likable. I've never heard that about another candidate before. You have fellow senators who say, yeah, people just don't like this guy. That's certainly not sexist. You know, Trump is blunt. But maybe it's the fact that there are only...
I've heard harsher things than that.
Sure, absolutely. And but you don't say it's because of his gender. And as we're just talking now, maybe it's because there are words that are gender specific for men. There are more gender specific words for that seem to be recognized with women. I mean, a man could certainly be shrill too, but when you hear the word shrill, you tend to think of a woman.
It's geared to the feminine.
The word definitely. Is the word is right, and so there's not an equivocal word to men, right? Maybe that's just because of it's been a man's world, so the adjectives tend to apply to everyone, not man specific. Does
right.
that make any sense?
Yes, it does. It does. And I just would say what I said. I mean, we want you to call us at, I keep
312-981-7200. Let's go right to Ellen's on the line. Ellen, welcome to 720 WGN.
Stephen Judy
Hi,
show.
You guys. You know what? I'm looking at the definition of shrill.
Oh, great. Yeah. That could help.
Good. You brought a dictionary to the party.
Academic. It says, synonyms, high-pitched, piercing, high, sharp, blah, 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 related to the sound of a voice. I would assign that to her, but Trump has the same qualities to his voice. However, when I listen to Hillary, and I'm from Chicago, and she was born here, sometimes I cringe at the Midwestern flat accent, where she didn't go to school like at broadcasting, where you get that sort of international, not European, but not American. There's something really, maybe if she were from the East Coast, it wouldn't be that bad.
So you'd be more supportive if she had an affected voice.
No, not at all. But I'm just saying the reaction to people who say, oh, I can't stand to listen to her. Palin is the one. Okay, and listen to my shrill voice as I even say the word
or
Palin.
Mine.
But I know. But listen to her voice, that shrill. And so, you know, it's really hard because you do respond to the tenor of their voices, but we should really respond to what they're saying.
Okay, so.
But it's hard.
Is it sexist to say she's shrill?
No, because you can't say a man is shrill because his voice doesn't get high pitched. I mean, according to the definition that you just read.
Yes, Judy, you're hired. Yeah. I totally agree with that. There must be another, somebody else got to call up and come up with another word for a man who gets that, you know, there's a tone that must be related to the modulation of a man.
Well, and I have to say, I don't think that applies to her, and her voice doesn't bother me, so I'm not in that camp. But it's just, as someone who's watching it, I don't know. We've got a number of phone calls lined up. Listen, Ellen, thanks very much for calling.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Ellen.
It.
All right.
And Rhonda,
maybe Henry Higgins will call up.
Maybe, but I'm betting against it. We'll see. Thanks, Ellen.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Rhonda is on the line. We'll get to her after a break because she has a word, a descriptive word, that I got in big trouble for saying in front of you 2 years and years ago. You're listening to Judy and Steve. Really, it's Kathy and Judy with Steve filling in here on 720 WGN.
That is not shrill music.
It's the Kathy and Judy show on 720 WGN. Kathy is right now flying somewhere over Flagstaff. No? When's her flight?
I'm not telling.
Okay. So, Judy Markey is here. I'm Steve Bertrand filling in for Kathy O'Malley, who was visiting Judy Markey. And let's not forget to have the Javelina story a little bit later.
Okay.
But right now we're talking about whether or not it's sexist to say Hillary Clinton is shrill. I don't think
she
is. What's that?
Because why are you laughing?
Because it's kind of silly to me. I don't think I don't even find her shrill, but I keep hearing that come up. All right. Rhonda is on the line, and she has a comment that I'm interested in what you have to say. Rhonda, welcome to the program.
Hi there. A couple years ago, as a matter of fact, you guys were talking about Hillary, and I just can't believe it, but at that time, I happened to mention that she is very shrill. And it's like it's come to light that everybody else thinks that, too, most people. Not only is she shrill, but she's also got this phony quality about her where her eyes bug out. And then she also screams, you know, when she gets mad.
Wait, so you'll be voting for her, right, Rhonda?
Of course. I love her. Can't you tell?
Okay, right. That's sarcasm. So who's your person? Who do you support?
I support Ted Cruz or the other
Rubio?
Hispanic person.
Rubio.
Rubio?
Rubio, yes, Rubio. He has got the quality of a voice that is just, he's just relaxing. He's just, and he doesn't stammer. Did you ever hear her do the Southern accent thing, which was so phony when she was doing that in a black church?
No, I never heard that.
No.
You never heard that?
I wanted to say to you,
I can't believe
Rhonda, you have a very particularly mellifluous voice. Do you think if...
You have a very elite voice where you think you're better than people.
Oh, do I?
It's so nice of you to call, Rhonda. Thank you.
That's how you come off. Uh-huh.
Is it how? I'm sorry about that.
Actually, she is better than most people. I'm surprised. But the thing, that was such a nice call. But the description Rhonda used was the word hysterical. She said, oh, I find this all hysterical. And I remember, you know, to me, hysterical was a word that was, I find something funny. And I said that to you guys once, you know, I said, don't get hysterical. And
I bet you said, don't get hysteric. And hysteric has a totally different meaning.
No, I'm sure I said, don't get hysterical. But the same thing, like it was an awakening to me that that was a word that could somehow be offensive to women. It just didn't occur to me.
Well, because that was a diagnosis in the 19th century about, no,
that women were
century.
Hysterical.
Hysterics,
yeah, I know. I did not know that. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Let's go. Who do we have here now? Alan is on the line. I'm sorry, Alan. Alan, what's up?
Yeah, I don't know where you guys missed the boat on Sarah Palin. She was screaming when she was on with Trump. And he was totally embarrassed.
That was kind of funny.
Well, her grammar
was kind
of... Yeah, I don't
think women are great orators. If you guys are looking for an orator or a president, I don't know if you're looking in the right direction.
Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou as an orator?
She's a beautiful orator.
Yeah, I see, and Sarah Palin was wandering, and she was cracking me up in many ways, but I don't think shrill is the word I would use for her either.
Oh, I would.
You would. You would say she was shrill. See,
yeah,
then I think you're using that because she's a woman. Because
no,
she's
I'm
not.
I think she sounded like a canary.
Okay.
She sounded like a canary.
See, I feel it's unjust for me to comment on anyone's voice because I have a very, I don't like my voice, shrill voice.
Someone called and said Barney Fife was shrill. That makes a little sense, right? Maybe? I don't know.
I guess.
312-981-7200 is the telephone number. We'll go now to Bill. Bill, welcome to 720 WGN.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just doing great. Are you going to be a nice call?
Not as good as I am.
As far as you know.
It's starting out really well.
Uh-huh.
Well, as long as we're attributing actors with shrill, I think of Mrs. Kravitz from the old Bewitched. That's shrill.
Okay, I'll go
you
with
know,
that.
The nosy neighbor lady, that's shrill. Hillary isn't shrill, but the reason why I believe people are attributing it to shrill is because it garners the same reaction as shrill, you know, the cringe. But I think
I watch her and I support her, actually, and I sometimes cringe.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, and I would go back to the kind of the base emotional roots. I think the reason why she causes you know, people's reaction in that way, because I think she has a real problem with compassion and sincerity. And I think she has trouble hiding that.
Compassion?
I think that she's arrogant. And I just think that she feels she doesn't need us along for the ride. And I think she has a very hard time hiding that.
I think she can't win for losing.
We got to take a break. I'm going to cut you loose, Bill, but I appreciate the call.
Sure. Thank you.
And so that goes back to the thing where, you know, I think everyone who says that she's with, when they're with her personally, that she's very likable, she's very at ease, she's very relaxed, she can't sort of convey that. And again, where people who see Ted Cruz when they're with them alone, they say they don't like him. It's just kind of a weird thing, a weird dynamic. You're listening to Kathy and Judy here on 720 WGN. We need to take a break. We'll be back at it right after this. Thank you, Veronica. Steve Bertrand here, filling in for Kathy O'Malley. It's the Kathy and Judy Show.
I'm waiting to hear what this song is. I didn't know if he was going to do We Are Family. We're talking about step families. Apparently, 40% of us who live in the U.S. have a step person.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Are you surprised at that?
At 40%? In immediate family, I would be surprised that maybe they extend it to...
They were talking about sister, parent, or sibling.
No kidding. 40%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems... That surprises me a little bit, yeah.
Don't you know people who have a stepbrother or stepsister?
Absolutely. I don't. Do I? No, I don't.
No, you haven't had this experience.
No, I don't. I'm trying to think.
Let me count. Yeah. No, it can be... fine at first. It can be terrible for years. It can be 10 years. I mean, that's what the journal said. And we'd like to hear your stories about stepchildren, step-parents, and step-siblings. You can call in as a Rhonda, but don't be like that other Rhonda was. She was very mean to me. And I did nothing to her. And that was why she was a Rhonda. She wouldn't go with her name. But in my case, I think that figure of 10 years is a pretty correct one. It doesn't preclude my biological family. It's like you hold your biological family, I feel, in one way, and your step family. I mean, I would never presume that these are my, I would never say this
sure.
is my child.
Right.
I'd always say this is my stepdaughter, Kate, my stepson, Zach, you know.
So how
and
is,
I love them.
How is it different 10 years out than it was, say, 3 years out?
You've been raising them. You've been co-raising them. And you know them well. You know what their strengths are, their weaknesses. You know, you have dinner together every night. I just think you have both, you can take both their emotional temperature and their, and they were growing.
The
kids in my family were growing up. One was 11 and a half and one was 13. And so there were a lot of years together that sort of make you aware of, and in the case of my kids, they lost their mother about a year before I came on scene. So there was really, in many ways, the presence of their mom in my mind, and I'm sure in their mind.
I remember that. We talked about, and which would be different from divorce maybe because the other parent is still out there. There's still a relationship.
Right.
Our phone number is 312-981-7200. How long did it take? Was it instant? It's interesting to me because I don't know why it seems like 10 years is a long time. I mean, in my life, I make snap judgments about everyone right away, and then I just hold on to that for the rest of our relationship.
So, no, your snap judgment of Kathy and me, I think, changed.
Oh, absolutely. It did. Yeah. It turns out it took like 22 years. Yeah.
You really didn't like it.
Right. At first I thought, you know, let's give them 21, 22 years. And yeah, now here we are.
Right.
I don't know, because if you're with someone it seems like after a year or two that you either have reached a comfort level or you never will.
Oh, no. These are profound relationships. A relationship with a sibling. I mean, like in the Brady Bunch, I don't know how the Brady Bunch went in terms of the first year they were all together. I imagine they weren't getting along and were having problems. But I think it's likely to heal more quickly than the parental issue or the child to parent issue. I think between children, it can probably, this could be wrong, obviously, this is just how I feel. I have no data to back it up. I think between two siblings that are step siblings, you know, they could be in the same school, they could, you know.
You think they would be quicker or?
I think they would be quicker.
Interesting. I think they would be slower.
Why?
Because they're kids and because they're more dependent on the parental relationship maybe than the parents are on the child relationship. I don't know. 312-981 is the telephone number. Mike has called. Mike, welcome to Kathy and Judy.
Yeah, I've had a stepdaughter for 3 years now. Me and her mother have a son together, and yesterday we gave birth to a daughter.
Congratulations.
Was it hard for you?
Extremely hard.
Yeah, I mean, how long was your labor? It must have been very difficult.
No, we're just talking about the step.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, see.
You know, the stepdaughter things were very difficult, and they still are sometimes. But with our first son that we had, you know, it kind of binded us together. And with our new daughter, she is completely taking the role as the little mommy already.
How old is she?
She is 9 years old now.
Okay.
So when we first got together, she was 6, and it was a lot of fighting and then her not understanding things. Trying to figure out if, you know, our kids together were going to take her for.
And
she still has that issue today, but, yeah, she's more mature now, and she's a tough little cookie, that's for sure.
I have a question, and it's a hard question, but you've been in this marriage for how many years?
We've been together for four.
For four. Oh, so you had your babies really fast together. I mean,
yes.
You guys were busy creating, you know, expanding the family. Does it feel different to you? I mean, this is a mean question, so you can be somebody else. But your biological children and your stepdaughter?
Absolutely not.
It really doesn't.
And that's
I'm so glad
the
you gave
is,
that answer.
My stepdaughter, I mean, I call her my daughter. I tell her I love her just as much as my biological kids, and I do.
Okay. Now, did you adopt her, or does she have a father?
She has
biological.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she has a biological father, but he's, I mean, there's issues there. But the simple fact is, when I look at her, I see my child, and that's the way I'll always see it. We tell her that her brother and sister from us are her brother and sister, not her half brother, not her half sister.
Right. And so, but it took you 3 years.
Well, you're three years into it.
No, he's four.
We're 3 years into it. We're 4 years into with all of us. My son's 2.5 now, so 3 years, you know.
So do you?
For her,
but
knowing that we're together.
Do you see yourself being in a different spot with her 7 years from now than you are now, 3 years in?
I see our relationship getting a lot stronger in 7 years.
And you'll be in a different spot because she'll be 13, and you know that sucks. No matter what bloodline the child has.
When it's a stepdaughter and a stepfather, I mean, there's you know, always that she wants to know that we love her, or I love her just as much, and she fights that a lot. So it's, you know, just proven to her that she means just as much to me as the other two.
Mike, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. It's interesting.
Anytime.
We've got Paul, Lewis, and Jack on hold. So
girls.
Those
where
are all boys. Yeah, all
I
the
know.
Boys
I
are calling.
Girls, where are you?
We'll get to those calls right after this on 720 WGN.
We are family.
There you go.
I got all my sisters with me.
Here we go. Definitely.
It's Kathy and Judy on 720 WGN. Steve in for Kathy today. And we're talking about stepfamilies. Kathy has nothing to do with this conversation. Judy read an article that said it takes 10 years maybe for...
As much as
10 years for a relationship to come full. Let's go to Paul, who is called. Paul, welcome to the Kathy and Judy show.
Thank you. Regarding the subject, I was married to a gal who had a child from a previous marriage. It was the worst experience I had ever been through. The child was needed discipline. The child needed something that nobody could give her, and it was
How old was the child?
At the time, the child was about 9 or 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the marriage lasted about 13 years, and it was just horrible.
Oh.
And I can tell you that from a guy's point of view, and I'm a widower. I remarried after that. I would never, at my age, and I'm 67. I would never marry a gal who has kids from the previous marriage, ever, because you're always going to be on the back burner. It's not a family affair. I think very few of these marriages who come in with children from other people ever work out. You're always going to be on the back burner. If the child needs discipline, you're told to stay out, and that just ruins everything.
Okay, but
so
Paul,
I learned my lesson.
Paul, maybe
those guys who are my age, who are widowers or divorced, my suggestion is, look before you leave.
Okay, but you got to remember that at your age, most of the children that somebody you might marry are going to be adults, and they're not going to be in
correct.
Your face.
That's right. In most cases, no. But some are still living at home. You know. So what are you going to do?
Do you have a relationship with that stepdaughter now?
No. I can't stand her. I hate her. And she hates me.
Hate.
Wow.
That's the way
that
it works.
That must have been a bumpy 13 years.
Okay.
Well, it was, but I went into it. You got to remember, I went into it like any normal guy would, with open arms. Her kid was going to be my kid. We were going to do all kinds of things. It didn't work out, and that's the way it was.
Okay, but
and,
so if she's young, Paul, this to me seems like it speaks more to your relationship with your wife and your wife's relationship with you than with the daughter.
I don't agree with that.
You don't agree
that's
with that?
That's a very good point. You're absolutely right. Her relationship with her daughter, because her daughter was a problem. I think the wife was afraid that that kid was going to ruin the marriage, and she, you know, her second marriage, and she, the kid almost did, except that, thank goodness we got divorced. That was a major problem, you know, and so I'm just saying I would never do it again, ever.
Okay, we hear you're adamant, and you know what you're not going to do.
Thanks for the call, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the call.
Thanks, Paul.
312-981-7200 is the telephone number, and we'll say hello to Jack. Jack, welcome to Kathy and Judy.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. What's your experience?
Right.
I had the very best stepfather that any man could ever have had. He passed away last year, and I'm not just saying that out of sentiment. You know, my father was, my true father was very troubled, and never once did my stepfather ever disparage him. And he was just the greatest man. And, you know, I later on, and you're right, about 10 years it takes to fully integrate.
Mm-hmm.
And about 10 years later, I would introduce him as my father, and he would always introduce me as his son.
Do you think that could have happened if you had a fabulous biological father? Do you think that you could have felt... you almost never hear of people feeling that way. Well, no, that's not true. People can love, be crazy about their mother and love their stepmother too. But do you think you would have felt that way if your dad had not been troubled?
I probably would not have needed a father figure as much. And
right.
So I agree with you. But, he passed away about a year ago, and I have never seen a human being pass with more dignity and more respect than my stepfather. When they first got married, he was actively drinking and was an alcoholic.
Your stepfather.
That's correct.
Okay.
And when he passed away, he had about 35 years of sobriety. And at the funeral, I cannot tell you the number, it had to be 30 plus, that said, I would not be alive except for your stepfather.
That's a nice tribute.
He was just a wonderful, wonderful
man.
Well,
you were a lucky guy.
Thanks for the call, Jack. I appreciate
the
story.
And thank you.
You bet. 312-981-7200. Let's jump to Karen, who's got the stepmom version of all this. Karen, welcome to Kathy and Judy.
Hi.
Hi. What's your story?
Well, I was I'm a stepmom. We've been married 31 years, and me and my husband have been together since my stepchildren were 2 and 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they grew up with me, and their mother's still in the picture. They have a great relationship with the mother, and they also have a great relationship with me. They look at me as their parent, as their mother. They've always respected me that way. I have 2 children of my own for me and my husband, and none of them get treated any differently. They all get treated the same. I don't do anything more for my 2 children that I would not do for my 2 stepchildren.
And how many years into this are you?
31.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that.
Yeah. So, and how did that happen immediately with your children that are stepchildren?
Yes. You know what? I was 18 when me and my husband got together. And I think because they were so young when my husband got divorced, that they really didn't understand what was going on at the time.
2 and 4, yeah.
So, this is just how we grew up.
How old was your husband when you married him?
When we got married, he was 20. He's 6 years older than me. So he was 21 when we got married. He was 27.
So another good story. We've only hit one that was absolutely definite that it was the worst thing he ever did.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't trade my life for anything. I love them dearly, and I always will. And like I said, they have the same respect for me as a parent. And I do consider, you know, when we talk, they're my children.
Thank you for the call, Karen. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll go to another guy here, Andy. Andy, welcome to 720 WGN.
Hi, good morning.
So we're really gunning for a really terrible story, so if you got one, we'd love it.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, my wife and I got together about 26 years ago. The kids were, her daughters were 3 and 4. My son was 4. We included them from the beginning, you know, when I asked them to her to marry me. I asked her daughters and my son first. And they stood up at our wedding. It was more of a bonding of families than it was.
So it was Brady Bunch-like.
Exactly. And, you know, my daughters and my son, you know, they're together. You know, they talk constantly. There's thousands of miles between each other, and everything's still good. My wife and I are still very, very good, and, you know, pray for the day they come home and visit.
Well, this is a heartbreak, hon, because as Steve said, we were looking for people that were troubled by it. But I have a question. How long did it take for you to meld, really meld?
We got married 4 years after we got together, and I'd say it was a year, you know. But, you know, my son had a little bit of a harder time because his mother was still in the picture. The girl's father, who knows where he is, what he is, no one knows. So, you know, it was pretty instantaneous with the girls. My son a little bit more, but he was on more on the shy side.
Well, Andy, it's a great story to hear. I'm glad it's working out for you.
Yes, thank you.
All right, thanks very much for calling. And Judy, just to make you feel a little better, we have a text. My husband first met his stepsisters at the wedding and hasn't seen them since. That was 11 years ago. So they're outside the 10-year window. It's probably not going to happen. You're listening to the Kathy and Judy Show here on 720 WGN. Hey, did you see the Screen Actors Guild Awards last week? The in memoriam section was delivered by Susan Sarandon. Always very touching, a tear-jerking section, except for, did you notice what she was wearing? Piers Morgan didn't like it. We'll talk about that after the news.
Touch it, touch it, touch it, touch me. I want to be dirty. You reach me, fulfill me.
Those are the dulcet sounds of Susan Sarandon. Did you recognize that, Judy Markey?
No, I know about this, but I didn't see this.
Steve Bertrand sitting in for Kathy O'Malley. Judy Markey is here. It's the Kathy and Judy Show. All right, so at the Screen Actors Guild, you know, they always have these in memoriams at the Oscars, and it's the very touching, sweet tribute. And Susan Sarandon gave it at the SAG Awards, which were last Sunday, I believe.
That's the Screen Actors Guild.
Right. And so she came out to tearfully remember all of those who we've lost in the past year. And she was wearing basically a bra. I said a tube top earlier, but a bra with a blazer, right? So you could see under her bra and above it, and the blazer was loosely tied.
And you could see her belly then?
Yeah, you could see her belly a little bit. And Piers Morgan, who knew he was still alive. I didn't know. I thought maybe he was in the in memoriam segment.
Mad,
so he tweets out that, you know, that it was totally inappropriate what she was wearing. You know, would she wear that to a funeral? And it started this big Twitter fight between the two of them. A bunch of people were weighing in. The hashtag was CleavageGate. And she responded by, I guess, tweeting him a picture of her from the Rocky Horror Picture Show in just a bra singing that song.
And what was that supposed to mean? What kind of final word is that? That Susan Sarandon.
It was just like a say hello to my little friends, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, I think, first of all, she's mid-60s.
Okay.
I think, aside from the fact that it's the in memoriam, that's just not an age-appropriate look.
Really?
You know, of course not.
If you can pull it off?
I mean, she did look great. She did look great, I have to say, but it was inappropriate for the
occasion. She had choices, and she has a lot of places to look great. I don't think bringing her breasts to the fore, you know, I don't know if she's got a grandchild or something, but was it a real bra? Kristen, could you tell?
Kristen's better at this than me. I called it a tube top, but it was a bra.
It was definitely a bra. And I would say, I don't want to even say a push-up bra, but it looked like a Victoria's Secret bra. with a white blazer.
So she must have had a breast reduction because you couldn't put her girls in a Victoria's Secret bra, I don't think.
Oh, they looked pretty ample in the picture.
They always have been, but again, she's in her 60s.
Okay, so is your issue that it was the in memoriam segment, or
I think both? I think it was like a bad selection of possible attire.
Well, if she did have new ones and they were only in their 30s, would that change things?
No.
Okay.
Still with an in memoriam, you know, I don't know who could think that it was a wise idea.
Well, apparently Susan Sarandon did. Our phone number is 3917.
She's plunging in my estimation list.
312-981-7200. There, I got it. 312-981-7200. Mike, welcome to Kathy and Judy.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Judy.
Are you exhausted from talking to us? You sound like you've been talking to us all day.
No. You know, the one thing I was just telling your producer, I was like, how is it any different when J-Lo walked the red carpet? Remember with that Versace dress where it was cut down to her belly button and then all the way to the crack of her butt? I go, what's the big deal? Susan Sarandon, at her age, looks fantastic. And she was doing it, if you read her tweet, she was doing it as an homage to David Bowie because of fashion.
Mike,
so, I didn't find anything rude about it.
I don't remember that J-Lo picture, but I'm going to Google it now.
Oh, yeah. Remember, it was like a Versace dress. If you look it up, you will see.
Here's the thing.
It was very revealing. And, I mean, to this, Pierce, what he was saying about, oh, well, it wasn't a funeral. It was just that it's an awards show. The whole thing is about fashion. So what's the big deal?
Well, I think the difference between your example of J-Lo, Mike, and this has to do with the fact it was not an in memoriam. It was a red carpet thing. J-Lo always had a butt. Before Kim Kardashian, there was J-Lo who did all that. And she was in her late 20s or early 30s. And, you know, I'll tell you from a point of view of someone who does not dress dowdy, and I am about to be 72, that even I know suffer sometimes because clothes are made for people who are younger. I walk around in tights and stuff, but if I would rather have something that was, well, I have a top on.
Well, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it right now. Mike, I'm going to say it right now. Judy is doing the show from her kitchen in Arizona.
Yes, I know.
Wearing a bra only, and it's a little uncomfortable for me.
But you know what? Here's the one thing. If Susan Sarandon, what is she, 70 now? Gonna be?
She could be.
Why can't she show it off? I mean, I think it's great. I mean, because women of a certain age, they like to put you, like, oh, cover it up. We don't want to see that. She looked fantastic. I thought, great for her.
And I women do feel like if it was another actress in a dress with a plunging neckline, we would not be having this conversation.
Why? Do you
there's
think
an elegant
don't like
dress?
Exactly.
I think it
this
was.
Is what I'm saying.
Is she an activist?
No, I think it's because we're seeing the bra in a blazer, and so it's made to look like, oh, we're not supposed to see that. But nobody says anything about all the plunging necklines of dresses where you have the inner side boob.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
where they wear tape
the
on
outer
it,
side boob and the inner side boob, and those.
See, to me, I thought she looked classy. I thought that was a classic look.
Well, probably compared to the other outfit, she might have. I don't know.
Well, Mike, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Didn't mean to wear you out there with that first call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Rose Marie, welcome to the Kathy and Judy Show.
Hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to say that I thought SAG was the appropriate word that applied to what I saw. That's my only comment.
Did you see her?
I saw a picture of it in the newspaper, and I think I also saw it on maybe Entertainment Tonight or some show the next day. It was definitely talked about.
Oh, yeah, and disputed and, tweet, retweet.
And you don't think she pulled it off?
Absolutely, she did not.
All right, well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Rosemary.
I wonder if this is going to fall on gender lines.
Well, yeah, I don't have an issue with it if she looked okay. I saw just the stills, I don't I think Kristen.
She didn't see what was shaken as she walked up to the mic.
No, I didn't.
Or what wasn't.
And
shaken.
Kristen, who thought it was inappropriate, had a good point. If someone had been wearing a dress showing the same amount of skin, it wouldn't be an issue. But it was the style of it. And if she's doing it, you know, in tribute to Bowie. I don't know. 312-981-7200 is a number.
Well, did he ever come out in a bra and a blazer?
He was all about fashion.
I know.
And
but
style and everything.
Is there a famous, picture of him at a certain point? I know he was all about clothes and outrageousness and stuff, in addition to being a fabulous singer.
Well, we have a text from the 214, and this woman says, I have no problem with her breasts and her general choice to display them. Her husband, who follows fashion, oddly, she says, and I talked briefly about her attire and agreed that her whole ensemble would have been more flattering if it fit her better. It was her jacket was pulling in a few places, and it made the whole thing less flattering, and her breasts were less of a problem than her bra, which appeared to be more of a support garment than one meant for display.
Wow, her husband really is into fashion.
Oddly.
That's a direct quote from the old man.
We'll take a break. You're listening to the Kathy and Judy Show here on 720 WGN. You're listening to the tribute of the Rocky Horror Picture Show here on 720 WGN. That's Susan Sarandon singing in a bra, and she was remembering in a bra just last Sunday, and people did not take it well. I guess it was kind of a racy outfit, and people thought it was inappropriate for the In Memoriam segment of the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Jill is on phone line. Jill, welcome to the Kathy and Judy Show.
Hi. Yeah, the first thing I thought of was she's very needy. I mean, it's supposed to be about these people who passed, and instead it's look at me, look at me, look at me. And then I had to really laugh, too, because I thought of that Seinfeld episode where Elaine had the friend who never wore a bra.
Yeah.
And she bought her a bra, and then Jerry or Kramer sees her on the street while he's driving, just in a bra and a blazer, and gets in an accident. I mean, I'm almost wondering if she thought of that.
Yeah, someone texted about that episode, too. I don't remember that one.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah. So, I don't know. To me, it just, I don't know. I think she just wanted attention.
See, I don't think that's fair because everybody dresses for attention at the awards.
You're so funny, Kristen Decker, because...
She's right, though.
Jill, I have to tell you, Decker thought it was an inappropriate outfit, and all she's doing now is defending her.
But
I'm not wearing it to a funeral, though.
It wasn't a funeral, but it was about dead people.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm changing my mind on myself.
Thank you for the call, Jill.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number, and we'll jump to Rhonda. Rhonda, welcome to the Kathy and Judy Show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, and Judy's better.
Well,
I am
good.
Now that Kathy
I'm
left.
Happy. I'm happy. Okay. My feeling is Susan Sarandon is a beautiful woman. I don't know what her mind frame was when she was dressing. I just feel that I've always looked at her as being classy. And I feel that if she had come with a beautifully tailored suit or something just a little more sophisticated, that I would have been a little more impressed. I was surprised to see
it. I agree. But you know what I'm thinking about is that if this was to have been a tribute to David Bowie, it's sort of signaling out his death as more laudatory than the others. And that really isn't a great idea.
Oh,
either.
For heaven's sakes. You think
what?
That really?
Well, she said that this was her tribute to
I
David
know,
Bowie.
I know, but you think that's giving an unfair advantage to one of the dead guys?
Absolutely. If it was clear...
Yeah. There's a group of people out there who have all made contributions and all who need to be remembered, and that was not the appropriate time.
Oh, I think you guys are piling on now. I mean, I'm trying to think of another... I'm trying to think of another star who had, if it had been Diane Keaton, may she live forever. But if she was in that segment and she went out dressed sort of like Diane Keaton, you think that would have been unfair to the other dead people?
Absolutely.
I don't think so. I don't agree with that.
And I feel like they've had in years past had to have done this where somebody kind of represented like a Michael Jackson or a Whitney Houston.
I'm really sad. I'm still sad about David Bowie's death. He comes up on my Spotify and Pandora quite a bit. And every time this in the past week or so when I hear a Bowie song, I'm like, oh, I can't believe it. So I'm all for it, especially if that's what she was doing. Rhonda, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, we're going to jump to Russ. Russ, welcome to the Kathy and Judy Show.
Weigh in, Russ.
All right. Well, first off, you're forgetting about David Bowie and Ziggy Stardust, where he dressed in drag. But if she'd wore Tim Curry's outfit instead of Susan Sarandon's outfit, it would have been a little bit different. Wasn't that far out of line? I see that on Michigan Avenue all the time.
Bras and blazers?
Or less. No. Or pants around people's ankles. Really? Are we, taste, nothing dictates taste, but, I don't think she was that far out of line. I mean, it's just, we're too open. How about
that? You know
what?
Less
is more.
These people in the movie business, they have like stylists and advisors and stuff. And I don't think she got her money's worth from hers. I really don't. She had to have known that this was going to be controversial. She had to have.
Well, if it's a tribute to Bowie and his sense of style or fashion, one of his songs, I don't know. I'm thinking it's not too bad. Russ, thanks for the call.
There hasn't been a man that's thought there was a problem with it. I've been keeping tally.
Does that mean men are right? I don't know. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you both?
I'm great.
I'm going to have to take Judy's side, and I'll do it on a couple of
levels. We're out of time, Kathy. Thanks for calling.
I think that if you parlay this with people, I'm almost 70, and it just depends on what pool you swim in. In our age group, I believe cross country probably. In our age group, you might get someone that would say it was a wee bit out of line as far as sensitivity as well as her choice of clothing for her age group. When I dress or when I do, I represent not just myself, I represent my family. And in the pool that I swim in, I am a mom and a wife, and I work in the community.
No, wait a minute, Kathy. So when you get dressed for an event, I'm going to an event tonight, a charity event. And so when you say you were too, when you're getting dressed for that, you're thinking, well, I'm representing my family in my dress?
I'm representing them. I would never do anything. And when Judy brought that up, isn't she a grandmother? Isn't she this or that? I dress very well. I don't dress dowdy, like Judy said. But I was also told, as being raised, my mother left me with one thing. And she said, please, grow old gracefully.
So what are you wearing now, Kathy?
Right now I'm getting dressed to go out with my husband for the day. And I will be wearing a lovely red sweater for Valentine's Day. And my slacks that'll be black, and my jacket that's black, and my matching purse. And I think if I see my children, grandchildren, or anyone else, they won't particularly look at me and say, wow, that lady's only interested in us looking at her derriere, her boobs, or anything.
Well, that's
you know, when I'm thin, which is about, which...
You're always thin.
No, I'm actually not. But when I'm thin, I could put a... To go to a party, I could put a bra and a blazer on. I really could. But I wouldn't.
We got to run, Kathy. Thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Come on. Judy, during the news headlines, go redress for us. And I want to see what you can pull off in the last half hour of the show.
I said when I'm thin.
You're listening to 720 WGN. Wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl in the good. I would call her. I wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat. Thank you, Veronica.
You were tall, huh?
I am tall. You're listening to the Kathy and Judy Show here on 720 WGN. Kathy has the day off, sort of, and Judy's
here.
You're
sitting in for her.
Steve
now,
Bertrand.
She's not tall, but I sort of have been saving this topic for when I, because I knew we were going to do today.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a letter that I read somewhere. It said, I'm a 5'7" guy. I know that many, many women's profiles say be 6 feet tall, or I like tall guys, or even no short guys. On OkCupid, in 2011, in 12 months, I counted this, I saw about 3,200 profiles that said, I like tall guys or be taller than me in heels. In online, women are seeking Thor. Now, I find that, I mean, I'm short, so I find that rather surprising. But how important, Steve, did you ever realize you were walking around with an asset?
No.
Not that one.
pretty nice asset, I would say. But no, when I see myself in pictures, I'm 6'5", I'm shocked at how gangly tall I am and how I don't fit in. I mean, if I'm walking in a crowd of people, I think it's not very attractive.
It's hard for someone to take a picture with you because it's either the top of the short person's head.
Right. Or... We did a TV commercial like that once where I was out of the frame and you two were talking on TV. Do you remember that?
I do. It was funny.
So I think the key there, one of the things you read was the woman wrote, can't be taller than me in heels. So I wonder if that's really what it's about, that women don't want to date someone that makes them look tall.
Totally.
Now, okay,
on my list, I no shorties.
Right.
I will not date a short guy.
Because you're tallish.
How tall are you,
Kristen?
I am between 5'8 and 5'9.
Have you ever gone out with a short guy?
No.
And liked him?
No.
Is it because the guy's shorter because you're taller?
I can't even. Oh, it's because I'm taller.
Right.
Well, so yeah, and the guy's shorter.
Sure, but I mean, it's not that you don't like
short
guys.
Like, I only even look at a picture and be like, he looks like a shorty, so no.
From a headshot?
Yeah, from a headshot, I can tell.
You think you can tell?
No, you can't. You've probably turned away absolutely lanky men.
Well, pictures are hard, but I will not date a short guy. I just won't do it.
Now, that's very, you're a very contemporary woman, and I find that a less than contemporary point of view, except you're having it now, so I guess it is contemporary.
Amy Guth is coming up with the business lunch at noon. She's in the control room, and she says same thing for her. She doesn't want to date someone who's... See, but it's not about the shortness of the guy. It's about the tallness of the woman, Amy.
Well, let's ask Kristen and Amy Guth if they wish they were shorter to open up the range of guys.
Absolutely not. I love being tall.
Yeah, I like being tall, other than when I'm buying pants, because I'm 5'10", so sometimes they're a little bit like floodwater pants. But no, you know what? It's not about the guy. It's about, like, I feel like a big old giraffe of a woman if I don't. And I like to wear heels, and then I feel like I'm just, like, rubbing it in his face if I'm not.
But you don't want, this is Amy Guth we're talking to, whose business lunch follows our show. Amy, wouldn't ever wish to be 5'6"?
No. Nah, I've been 5'10 since I was about 14. I don't know the difference, but being tall.
I think the encouraging thing here for guys who aren't tall is that it's not about them.
No.
So don't feel bad if you're not tall.
No, it's not about them.
But that's what they say. We don't want short guys. Instead of what they should say is, I don't want to be taller than the guy I date.
But you know what? That said, I've absolutely dated someone shorter than me before, and it was fine. It was totally fine. But it wasn't like if I was going to... you know, design my dream date, I wouldn't be like...
Your mystery date?
And I want him, like, 5 inches shorter than me. You know, no.
No.
Not at all.
And when you were dating him, Amy, did you wear flats?
You know, I did for a while, and then probably about a year or two into it, he said, you have all these, you know, pretty shoes. Why don't you ever wear them?
Did it bother you that he was going through your shoe closet?
I just had the same question. He wasn't wearing them.
I was like, get out of there. Stop trying on my stuff.
Maybe he was trying to be taller. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. Joanne is on the line. Joanne, welcome to the Kathy and Judy Show.
Hi, thank you. I just had a funny story. My mom was 5'3". My father was 6'3½". And, of course, she always wore high heels and up sweeps and all that. And she loved a particular popular piano player. And we went to see him at the Chicago Theater. And I was just a kid. I was probably about 8.
Who was it? Do you remember the name?
I can't remember his name. If you named a few, I would recall. And I was just thinking, how could I forget his name? And everything, but he played the piano. And anyhow, we were sitting in the theater. She was so excited. She couldn't wait. And when the curtain opened, he was sitting there playing and everything. And she were applauding and so on. And then he stood up after the thing. And my mother went, oh. And that was it.
She was only 5'3".
And yeah, and my dad was 6'3½", so they were a couple too, Mutt and Jeff. But except she wore real high heels and stuff, you know, like that. But I just thought it was so funny because I didn't understand it, and I said, "How come we got out of the show?" I said, "How come you get? How come you weren't happy after you saw him in that?" And she said, "Oh, he's so short."
I find that amazing.
I know. I think so, too. And this is a long time ago. A long time ago. I'm 78.
So what I've learned today, then, is that you might think it's this sort of innate breeding thing, survival of the fittest or the species or whatever. But no, it's really that women don't want to walk around with a guy who makes her look tall.
It's true. And, you know, my dad took me to a father-daughter dance at my high school. And all the girls were crazy about him. He was a nice-looking man, and he was slender, but he was tall. He was, at that time, 6'3½", seemed like a giant. And I think it's kind of a protective thing. I always felt protected, and I always felt safe and proud of my dad when I would be with him.
But you know the interesting thing about this is, I mean, thank you for the call. I'm sorry that, I mean, and I can identify with the 5'3" mom.
Thanks,
and
Joanne.
The 6'3".
You're welcome. Thanks.
Guy. My husband's 6 feet, and but the other one was 5'7". And when I get hugged by my husband, I have to go on my tiptoes. And
well,
he has to bend over. And so, but anyway, let me just ask this, because I think your conclusion is wrong, Steve.
Okay.
Because you said that you think it's because women don't want to look tall.
Well,
and yet
what...
there's a dichotomy in that I would say Amy and Kristen both said they like being tall, but they don't want to look tall.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. They don't want to look taller than,
But they don't want to be shorter.
Interesting, right. So they want to be tall, but they don't want to look tall.
Yeah.
I think what they mean is they don't want to look taller than their date.
Exactly.
Right.
Because when you're taller, it makes you feel more masculine if you're taller than your man. And look at Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Look at anyone in Hollywood.
It didn't look good.
All right, I'm dying to talk to John here. John is being very brave, I think. John, welcome to the Kathy and Judy Show.
Good morning, girlfriend.
Good morning.
My wife is 5'8", I'm 5'9", and she wears 2-3-4-inch heels. And when she walks in the room, boy, do all eyes go on her. And I could see the women staring daggers at her from the top of her blouse to the bottom of her shoes. And they got to look like, oh, who does she think she is? Look at her.
Miss
Why? Legs that have high weight. Because she's got really long legs. She's real slender. She's a size 4'6". And when she wears a nice pair of form-fitting jeans and a nice pair of heels, or wedges, whatever, and a nice summer top like a Rivian or something like that, boy, does she get the looks.
Oh, because, but wait, so you are taller than her?
No,
not when she puts her shoes on.
But
exactly.
Right, when she puts her shoes on, she's taller than you.
Big time.
Okay.
But do you think they're looking at her with envy, the women, or they're looking at her with, oh, my God, that woman's so much taller than her husband?
I think it's a mix. I sometimes see, like, just like some envy, some jealousy, I would imagine. And and the guys, of course, all my friends and people that she works with, and when she goes shopping alone, oh, yeah, she definitely gets looks. Oh, yeah. Men are totally attracted to it.
To taller women.
Yep. Yeah. I believe they are. I know I am. I mean, I never thought about it. I mean, my wife is my wife. I love her no matter if she's taller or shorter than me, but yeah, I notice how men look at her and other women as well.
Yeah,
I don't think height has ever entered into my former attractive quotient.
I need to say my wife is not a tall woman, and she's lovely, and that had nothing to do with why
she is.
I chose her, or she chose me. Who are we kidding?
I think the important thing is the way she carries herself. I mean, was you talking earlier about Susan Duran, about the way she dresses? My wife dresses very, very age appropriate. She's 50 years old. She can wear stuff that makes her look like a young girl from, like, let's say, Forever 21 or Victoria's Secret, but she carries herself very well and very maturely, and that's what makes her look so well. And it makes a big difference.
I appreciate the call, John. Thanks. We're going to fly.
Thank you.
You know that's my favorite phrase, right? Mutton dressed as lamb.
Yes,
when,
I know that.
Older women dress like
mutton
Forever 21.
Dressed
as lamb. You're listening to Kathy and Judy on 720 WGN.
I knew he'd play Short People. One of the best songs ever, though, even though I'm short. So we're talking about having a man have to be taller than one is, which in my case is no problem.
So I really want to see the movie Hail Caesar. Have you seen the
I saw it yesterday with Kathy.
Was it good? Too
B-
bad.
Minus.
I'm looking at the trailer, and it looks like Josh Brolin is about 4'2". Is he really short? If you start
not
to look at those guys,
in the movie.
I know, because they're surrounded with shorter people, I think. But if you start, once you key in on it, it's amazing how many.
No, he's walking with Tilda Swinton. I've got to believe Tilda Swinton's tall, and she's wearing heels.
Because her name is Tilda? Is that why you think so?
Because she talks like a tall person.
312-981-7200. Caroline has called. Caroline, let's try that again. Caroline, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Hi.
I agree with Kristen. When I was dating, I dated all different sizes and shapes and heights. But deep down inside, my Prince Charming was 6 feet or taller. I mean, okay, like 5'9", that's not a big deal. But I've been married now for 9 years, and my husband is 6'4". And there's just something that's like the one quality that I was looking for. I didn't care if he had, you know, purple eyes or long hair or short hair or whatever. But it was just that height that was just a very attractive quality.
How tall are you that would factor
in? I'm 5'7".
So that's not hugely tall, is it? Do you think that's considered tall?
No, I think that's average actually. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry that we haven't. Thanks for the call, Caroline. I'm sorry that we haven't heard from any shorter men, because I feel like they're, you know, it's kind of a hard thing. It's like you're walking around, you can't help that, you know. And if people are just feeling that way about you, there's nothing you can do.
You can't help
when people
step on your head.
I go to Cindy. Welcome to Kathy and Judy. I got to tell you, when I go to a movie theater, I hear people groan when I sit in front of them. You know?
I can imagine so. Well, one thing I'd like to just inject here is when Jackie Kennedy married Onassis, they always said he was so much shorter, and other people would say, well, he was tall when he stood on his money.
I never heard that.
What I was saying is that I think vampires have taken over the country because people no longer see their reflections in the mirror, no matter how tall they are.
What do you mean?
You look at a person and you think, did she look in the mirror and she still went out looking like that with those clothes?
Oh, you're talking about Susan Sarandon.
Well, those plunging necklines are a little too much.
Oh,
also.
That was last half hour, hon.
Yes. Well, at any rate, I'd like to say that people should look in the mirror a little closer, and no matter what size they are.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate
it,
Cindy.
She brought it back
good
to size.
To you people, or good to hear from you.
I'm glad you called. Let's go up to Chris. Chris, welcome to the Kathy and Judy show.
With you, Steve.
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Good. How tall are you, Chris?
I am actually 6'1".
Okay.
And I have actually found in a couple of situations, I'm not tall enough.
For
some women. I grew up in Texas, had a growth spurt at 14, went from 5'8" to 6'1" over a year, and was always considered tall. I moved to another state, and then I was surrounded by a lot of people that are 6'2" and 6'3" and above, and that was considered standard.
What state?
Now I moved to Florida first, and then I moved up to Illinois, and I'm in my 40s, but I'm fit. I do all sorts of outdoor activities, so I keep in shape. But I have found that 6'1" is now average. You're not even considered tall anymore. I find myself standing next to 19 and 20-year-old guys, and they're 6'3".
It's got to really take the people off in Texas that the people in Florida are bigger.
And I think of them as little old men. You know, the people in Florida.
You would think so. I go back to family reunions in Texas, and I'm the tall one.
Huh.
I come back home, and, oh, look, it's Shorty. And I have actually found women who are, like, say, 5'7", which I've dated a woman who's 5'8", 5'7", before, and I figured I was tall enough. And I ended up being dumped, and her next boyfriend was 6'3".
Oh, but she didn't specifically say it was because you were 6'1". Maybe you have a personality thing.
That's what else I was thinking. Short guys have.
I think so, but she also
Napoleon.
Liked wearing heels, and with her heels, we were equidistant. We were almost eye level with each other.
Oh. Well, good luck with the next woman. I hope she's my size, and then you'll be humongous.
Chris, you're tall enough, darn it, and people like you.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Okay. Now, where's Amy Guth?
Amy's getting ready to do the show. In fact, can we? Oh, I want to take a break. Before we do, can I just put a little plug in for my trip coming up?
Yes.
I'm hosting a group of WGN listeners. We're going to Prague and Vienna, and we're leaving on June 30th. It's a 9-day trip. You know, I think I've done 6 or 7 of these trips now, and this is the current one. Cool. We're going to be 3 nights in Prague, 4 nights in Vienna.
I love Vienna.
Yeah, I can't wait to go. And but we're in the process of signing people up. People have asked whether it's filled. It's not. There's definitely room.
What's the website?
SteveBertrandTravel.com, or it's at WGNRadio.com, too. But you can send me an email at Steve@SteveBertrandTravel, or call me at 847-606-6065. Kristen is a veteran. She loves him, and can't wait to fill this one up. All right.
You going to visit Freud's room?
In Vienna, maybe. I don't know. We have a lot of free time on these trips, too.
Or the Sound of Music. Nah,
I don't think we're going to do the Sound of Music. We'll see. We'll take a break. And Amy Guth is just around the corner here on the Kathy and Judy Show. That's going to wrap it up for the Kathy and Judy Show on this Saturday.
Thank you. And we want to thank our newscasters. We have
Veronica Carter.
And is Bob Kessler joining just right after we sign off?
Yeah, so let's not thank
Bob.
Ferguson, Bob's done nothing for us
and
yet.
And Kristen Decker. And I thank you, Steve. It's always fun.